course, we're always concerned about access to documents. As blind people, we can't, the computer, the information age can be our best friend or it can be our most aggravating enemy. And we struggle oftentimes with access to documents and how do we make it work. And it's no secret that for a very long time, when blind people saw filename.pdf, fortunately, things are changing in that realm. And I certainly have been using my Adobe Reader 7 and been able to access a lot more than I ever could, say, even 2 years ago. And to talk with us more about what that's all about and where Adobe has been and where Adobe is going with respect to access, and to take your questions, is Greg Pizzacchi. Greg is with Adobe Systems. He is accessibility manager. If he's not, he is now. So please, Greg came all the way from Virginia, flew in for this meeting today. That's the commitment Adobe is showing us. Make him welcome, please.
Thank you, Marlena, and thank you, everybody. Spending a Saturday afternoon in Florida listening to somebody from Adobe talk, that's your commitment to us. Yes, it means people need to be committed. How's this better?
Yeah.
All right, sorry. This is my second visit to the ACB convention. 3 years ago, I was able to talk to you in Pittsburgh and did a little exhibiting there. Roger tells me it was 3 years ago. His memory is better than mine for details like that.
It was 3 years ago.
There we go. I have a few remarks I'll make. It'll take about a half hour to get through, but we also want to make this interactive and welcome your questions along the way or even at the end. So this is a discussion more than it is a speech. When we're talking about accessibility at Adobe, you know, that those three little letters .pdf do come up. And there's been a rather checkered past regarding PDF files. Quite honestly, that checkered past sort of caught up with me. I was enjoying a successful sales career at Adobe in the government. And thanks to things like Section 508, suddenly I was having a real problem selling my product. But I kind of got very interested in accessibility and came to it that way. So as I started to solve this, but in sales we would have termed an objection, and it was a rather large one. I became more enthralled with the issue of accessibility and got out of sales and have been focusing on accessibility for a number of years now. So even though we talk about PDF, I want to stress that at Adobe we pursue accessibility on a number of fronts. Four main areas here. We have a corporate commitment. I'm just one individual who's representing a team of individuals, some of whom you probably know, and we'll get to some of their names and their roles momentarily. The corporation is also now looking to embrace accessibility with continuous product improvement. It's part of the way we design not just Acrobat and PDF, but all of our products, including the Macromedia products. Adobe and Macromedia are now one. So those of you who might have confronted the Flash Player or worked with Dreamweaver to create websites, the Macromedia commitment to accessibility has become the Adobe commitment to accessibility. All of that being worked on now by a single entity. We collaborate with the leading advocacy groups. You mentioned Brad Hodges and the folks at AFB. We've worked with the AFB, the NFB. We'd like to do more with the ACB. As opposed to the occasional appearance at the convention. And we'll talk about ways to have an ongoing and continuous engagement.
We can help you fix that.
Perfect. Internationally, the Royal National Institute of the Blind, the RNIB, has been working closely with Adobe. We pursue accessibility on the front of the file format. So you've got all these applications that are producing file formats, and the two that we're most noted for are PDF, or yay, it all depends on your perspective, I guess, and the Flash file format. Increasingly, in this era of what's being described as the rich internet application, the good news there, there's all sorts of interactivity going on in that spectrum. The bad news is, as people start to adopt a more visual focus to multimedia and things that are going on the web, there could be a great danger of forgetting about the accommodation for people who don't experience internet content through sight. And we're taking that concern lightly, we're not taking that concern lightly. We are actually engaged in creating techniques for making our rich internet applications accessible to all, not just the applications, but the formats they produce. We talk about user agents, so that that Adobe Reader, which sits on people's desktop, past versions of the Reader, things like the Adobe Reader version 4.0, the Adobe Reader version 5.0, got us into a lot of trouble when it came to accommodation for visual disabilities. It's starting to get good with Adobe Reader 6. I think we can actually point to Adobe Reader 7 as the one that really made some great strides. And of course, there will be further versions of the Adobe Reader. In a way, you folks kind of got cheated out of a celebrity today. Loretta Guarino-Reed, who's responsible for the engineering of the Adobe Reader and Adobe Acrobat for accessibility, couldn't be here. She's actually in Europe having a vacation. So I'm happy to fill in her place. But just to let you know that we've got full-time people working on this dedicated to these issues. The user agents, the Adobe Reader, the Flash Player, and our applications, products like Adobe Photoshop, Adobe InDesign, the various authoring tools that we do create, we seek to make them compatible with the conventional assistive technology, the JAWSes and the window eyes of the world. Also, we're starting to create built-in accessibility features from things that are as simple as guided help for accessibility to having self-vocalized applications. And the current version of the Adobe Reader, I think, is a great example of that, with accommodations not just for blindness, but for low vision, for cognition, and for limited mobility. So that if you're away from your assistive technology, or you're not in a position to afford assistive technology, or you're collaborating with a colleague or a friend who doesn't have assistive technology, you can at least rely on some of these built-in features to share that content. And multi-platform availability. The Windows platform is by far the richest for accessibility, but we are not neglecting things such as Linux. We are not neglecting things such as Apple and the Macintosh OS. And we hope that our attention to those platforms as an application provider is going to spur on greater efforts on the part of those platform developers. Accommodation. We're here, of course, to talk about blindness and limited visual impairment. But in addition to the visual disabilities, we have started to think, we do take into account things such as limited mobility with features such as the auto-scroll feature, cognitive issues, and a host of others, again, through either built-in features or the ability to work with compatible assistive technology. So I'm part of a team. As I said, we work with some leading advocacy groups. In addition, our corporate commitment has us in the greater world. I heard mention of Massachusetts, where we work with government agencies at all levels, state, local, federal, international, to work to seek compliance with things such as Section 508, the Canadian Common Look and Feel the European Union's upcoming disability regulations and accessibility regulations, and England's, the Disability Rights Commission there. So it really is a worldwide, global issue. We work with the standards groups. One thing we're trying, the whole industry is trying to avoid, is having different solutions to the problem that are going to require you to have different configurations for your computer. So we're working with the W3C, the World Wide Web Consortium. In the AIM group, we're working on something called PDF Universal Access. One thing about this PDF file format, even though Adobe's responsible for it and our name is most closely linked with PDF, most PDF in this world comes from applications that have nothing to do with Adobe. Because it's an open specification, everyone is free to use it. The bad news is a lot of people are making PDF ignoring what I refer to as Chapter 10 of the reference manual. PDF is currently at version 1.6, and Chapter 10 happens to be the chapter on accessibility. You can have a somewhat functioning PDF file. It will appear on a screen, it will print, it will do a number of things, and you can do all of that and leave out all those sections on Chapter 10 of this 1,000-page reference manual. So people are taking shortcuts. We're taking steps to formalize that standard, the accessible flavor of PDF, so that there'll be something that people can point to in the public domain. And so you won't be tied to Adobe. You'll say, there's this International Standards Organization standard, ISO, which says, if you're going to make PDF accessible, you've got to do it this way. And there's an active working group out of Boston, Massachusetts that's working on that. We're focusing on accessible applications that produce accessible content. It's not just about being consumers of these things, or reading the files, but when you like to make these files yourself. This is a workplace issue, an employment issue. It's a little more of a challenge at Adobe because we are basically a purveyor of graphics software. And when you start to talk about graphics, you're talking about vision, you know, about color and placement of items and the like. But we're working to make as much of those products as accessible as possible. At events such as CSUN, I do hear from people with visual disabilities who use Adobe products like Adobe Illustrator and Adobe Photoshop. And getting those product managers to wrap their heads around the fact that a blind person might actually be using Photoshop, because their job is a technical one, where they are doing scale proportions or index colors, and they're going by the numbers, not by what's seen on that screen. That's our disability, the sighted world's disability, is understanding how these products can be used. But they're even getting better in the creative area. We're trying to develop more resources to assist with accessibility-related issues. One of my prime causes within Adobe isn't so much about getting the users of our products to make accessible content. That's certainly important. But also I want to start working on a series of guides, if you will, for certain users of assistive technology so that you can say, I'm a JAWS user. How do I use Acrobat with JAWS? How do I use this Adobe product or that Adobe product with JAWS or Window Eyes or any of a number of others, Zoom Text. So we're working on developing kind of the consumer end of that for people who use assistive technology. Because let's face it, the user manual that doesn't take assistive technology into account is not a user manual that's useful to people such as yourselves that are using assistive technology. You actually are dealing with a completely different interface if you want to think about it that way. And we need to document that. So it's not just Windows alone or the Mac alone. It's Windows with JAWS, Windows with Window Eyes. That sort of thing has to be taken into account. And there is the accessibility website. Like most corporations these days, that's where you're going to find the freshest, newest information. We're still in the throes of making our website kind of complete. As I said, Adobe and Macromedia have merged, And we still have to get each product line represented adequately and kind of reorganize that website so it makes a little bit more sense. And it has all the products represented on it that it used to. If you looked at both companies separately, it's quite clear that the Macromedia website team pretty much took ownership of what's become the Adobe site. And some of our products kind of went missing, but they're coming back, I assure you. So I talked about this accessibility team. I'd like to talk to you about some of the people who are on that. A recent addition to Adobe, she comes to us from Oracle. Roger, you may be familiar with her character. Shastain Goldsmith, and she spells her name Kerstin, K-E-R-S-T-I-N, but it's pronounced Shastain. She's now the director of accessibility programs at Adobe, something she did at Oracle. She has some public events that she throws in the Bay Area, dinners and the like, for accessibility members of the high-tech community there. So it's great to have her on board. It's we'll see that you get invited. And it's great to...
Roger who?
She must be a very smart woman.
Well, she heard, if you let Roger at the buffet table, it's all over. He's a good sport. He's a good sport. Shastain is my boss, and so very happy to be working for her, and she's already beginning to put into place a program to make a lot of this stuff happen. So there are these goals that we set for ourselves, and now we have to make them come about. And that takes time, it takes money, it takes resource commitment, of course. Pete DeVasto is one of the quality engineers and a blind employee of Adobe, as is Andres Gonzalez, who's part of Acrobat Engineering. Andres has actually relocated to the East Coast and works for Adobe out of his home office in Raleigh, North Carolina. We're spread about as well. Loretta Guarino-Reed is the leader of the Acrobat PDF accessibility team, and has been her life's work, essentially. She's been dedicated to this cause for many, many years. Andrew Kirkpatrick comes to us from Macromedia. He's part of our core technology group, and very deep in engineering. Came to us prior to Macromedia. Andrew was with WGBH and the National Center for Accessible Media. So he's watching the store, minding the store on the multimedia front. Then you got me, education and outreach. I'm kind of the flack, I guess. And a little bit of something about PDF accessibility. Bob Regan, also from Macromedia, quite knowledgeable in techniques for Flash accessibility. There are also countless Adobe product managers. At Adobe, about a year ago, we formalized the accessibility requirement for all of our products by making mandatory certain sign-off documents dealing with accessibility a mandatory part of what the company refers to as its product lifecycle process, PLC. And so that means everything going out the door has to have had some accessibility considerations devoted to it. The help. Not all the products are going to be entirely accessible, but what is accessible about them has to be documented, will be available, and we're working on standardizing all of that. And, of course, the developers that are attached to the product teams who, working with the advocacy groups, have actually been exposed to accessibility issues for the first time, have been exposed to assistive technology for the first time. Not out of do this or else, but remember, these are technologists, and they think it's absolutely neat to sit there and hear a computer talk. Exactly. Baby steps. But that's the sort of thing. It hasn't been out of indifference, but a lot of what you've seen in our industry has been out of a lack of awareness. So these formats that we talked about, the two that Adobe supports, I talked about Flash, which JAWS 4.5, 4.5, and the Flash Player 6.0.20. Well, the Flash Player is at 8 now. think we're going to release a beta of 9. WindowEyes 4.2, working with the Flash Player 6. And a bunch of numbers. I'm not a big on Flash at the moment. It's part of my new education. The emphasis there is on proper authoring techniques for Flash files that will expose the structure and the navigation so that assistive technology can take advantage of navigation in Flash files. Things like a number of white papers we've posted on our website talk about descriptions and repetitions for Flash objects, how to use color properly in Flash as opposed to improper. Order and tabbing, tab order, the same themes seem to keep coming over and over again. Tab order, read order, and it's all a function of how you build these files. And this is what the developer community and the authoring community needs to have drilled into their heads. We're trying to do that ourselves. We know you folks are definitely working on that. Controlling the read order, and the Flash Player now has the ability to accommodate additional extensions for accessibility, a plug-in architecture. Then we have on the other side PDF, that established standard going back to 1990. Ironically, it was a file format that was developed for accessibility. It was accessibility. I know you're laughing. It was accessibility with a small a. It was accessibility for people who didn't have applications that other people were using. Quite literally, John Warnock's wife belonged to a number of civic organizations, philanthropic groups, and people would send her this stuff in PageMaker files. So her husband, John, one of the founders of Adobe, solved that problem two ways. He bought all this, the maker of PageMaker, but he also... that's one way.
Solution.
There's always a good solution. Victor Kiam, you know, I like the company so much, I bought the... I like the razor so much, I bought the company. The other one, though, was he dreamed up this portable document format. At the time, it was known as Carousel. And it was a way to render this thing, so if you didn't have PageMaker, but you had this Acrobat reader, this Carousel reader at the time, you could still see what that person put together. And to this day, anything that you can say file print, you can make a PDF out of, and it's going to look the same. Now, looks don't count for much in this particular audience, but it can also sound the same, provided people employ the proper techniques, and that's where we spend a lot of our time. So it's not just giving the tools the ability, you know, to have these features, but making sure that people use the features properly. We'll get into that. So, you know, getting PDF to work right, getting Flash to work right, getting .doc or .ppt, PowerPoint, to work right, really is a combination of putting the proper authoring techniques in place and then taking advantage of the user agent's abilities. And that takes a bit more understanding, it without a doubt. We live in a world where we're not sure if people who are pounding out the Word documents are employing proper spelling, proper grammar, proper heading. And now we're asking people to think about a thing that is kind of an unseen, quite literally in many cases, an unseen aspect of it. How are these things going to speak? How accessible are they? What's the read order like going to be? So it really is a big education thing. It doesn't happen, as Bob Regan, a colleague of mine, has said, and I take this to heart, accessibility doesn't happen by accident. It happens with proper design. Now, we're working hard to sort of take a lot of the human focus out of it, but we're never going to be able to eliminate that entirely. We can alert you to the fact that alternative text is missing in your PDF file, but it's still up to someone to run that accessibility checker and then to know how to fix the problems that the accessibility checker identifies, for example. We introduced tagging PDF, which is a great way to make your PDFs absolutely accessible. The built-in accessibility features for the free Adobe Reader. The government Section 508 was only part of the story. There's another regulation called the Government Paperwork Elimination Act, GPEA, which said, vendors, you can't make people buy software to engage in transactions with the government. So that's one of the reasons why the reader is free, and that's one of the reasons why we built in some, it's never going to be like JAWS or Window Eyes, but it functions as text-to-speech. So you kind of have a built-in screen reader. And compatibility with assistive technology. We've gone through all of this. The case study for Adobe Acrobat. We've got this file format, and the accessibility requirements for PDF are pretty much the same as for HTML, for Word. You've got to have a logical read order. You have to make sure things make sense, that the columns on the left are read before the columns on the right. If you're dealing with a form, you want to make sure that the tab order for that form is logical. And it's, you know, first name, last name, address. Not first name, address, last name. That sort of thing. We have ways of making that happen properly. Some of it, a lot of it has to be authored correctly, however. Alternate text descriptions for non-text elements are supported. Do you do it the same way as you do it in HTML? No. It's a different technique, one that's appropriate for Acrobat. Sometimes it'll start in a Word file. Sometimes it'll start in an InDesign file. Sometimes you have to bolt it on using the Acrobat because you're using a product that doesn't build accessible PDFs out of the gate. And short descriptions for form fields. So if you have a PDF file, there are a series of things you have to look out for. And the one thing we all want to ban are those nasty, inaccessible, scanned PDFs.
We're
all with you there. In Acrobat, there is actually a feature that'll do the optical character recognition. And Loretta, actually, in Acrobat 7 Professional, has built a wizard so that now even blind people get guidance in performing the optical character recognition. It'll say, hey, this is a scanned PDF file. I'll be happy to do an OCR for you. Is it going to put the alternate text in for you? No, it can't do that. But it will get you the text. It'll get you 90% of the text, and you'll at least get the gist of what's going on using that. But if there's one thing you can do, is people give you these scanned PDFs, tell them to stop it. Screen, jump up and down, say, if you're making PDFs, at the very least, you know, get your hands on a copy of Acrobat to make sure those scanned PDFs will get turned into OCR. Nothing is, easier than to take that piece of paper and put it into a scanner. The other thing you got to do is find out where these PDFs come from originally, because the one thing I see and hear of constantly, and it would be funny if it weren't so sad. Oh, well, this came out of Microsoft Word. Oh, it came out of Microsoft Word. What's it doing as a scanned PDF? Well, the director wanted their signature on it. So what do? Well, we print it to paper. The director signs the paper. And then we put the paper. No. Get the director to sign their signature. Put the signature in the Word document. Then make a PDF out of that. Now you've got something that's accessible. These people who are signing these papers, you know, there's no legal standing. That's a digitized, not a digital signature. That's another topic, a topic for another day. But if you can get people to understand, the important thing is scan the signature, not the document, and put that in the document. You're going to have accessible Word documents in the first place, and you're going to have accessible PDFs that come out of those documents. The second case you might have is a PDF form. You want to make sure that people put those form fields in and they have the proper short descriptions for those form fields. The IRS has done a lot of groundbreaking work in that sense. When it comes to money, people don't fool around, and they're going to make sure they get money out of everyone, including the blind. They worked hard and long on that one, and we worked with them. The legacy PDFs, PDFs that aren't properly tagged, that come out of applications that, like Quark Express. I'm not picking on Quark. Quark's just one example. Has nothing. they've got a PDF generator that has nothing to do with Adobe, and they left out Chapter 10. Unlike, say, the OpenOffice application, OpenOffice will spit out a tagged PDF. They took that into account. Again, no help from Adobe there. They took the specification and they built the application. So if you're getting PDF files, encourage those people to use applications that create these tagged PDF files.
I have a question.
Yes.
Where can I point people to, if they're making a form, for example, where can they go to investigate how to properly do it?
Right. There's two places.
Wait, could you repeat the question?
Okay, hey, I'm sorry. The question was, if people are making, say, a PDF form, where can you point people to get information on how to properly do it? Two places. There's the Adobe website, which is adobe.com, and at the bottom there's an accessibility link and a pointer to PDF accessibility techniques, and there are a number of documents there. In the help for Adobe Acrobat, there actually is an extensive discussion on how to make an accessible PDF form. I'm also going to leave behind my email address and telephone number. One of the many things I do, and I see a number of government employees from the Washington, D.C. area in the room, I work directly with folks as well and guide them through the process, because sometimes just reading the manual or reading the web page, you need some help. So that's one of the resources we offer me, for what that's worth. But we can talk people to it and give them the proper guidance.
If you do a Macromedia audio-visual about how to do it?
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things we're now working on. Now that we have the Macromedia product lines, one of the things I've actually want to do is a series of breeze presentations that will be accessible. On how to do this so that people can follow along. I actually have a CD. I did not bring copies with me, but we can make it available to Marlena for further distribution and for posting on your website, which actually goes into these techniques for PDF files. Yes?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I know a lot of us are thinking more about some of the individuals and stuff. Do you have such a program, something like that, that can be used with some of the corporate ones, like you mentioned, Quark? I'm thinking Final Draft creates PDFs, but they don't do anything. It's not tagged at all.
Right.
Like OpenOffice.
We've got to turn them on to our developer network, and the developer network will turn them on to the free software developers kits that anyone can take advantage of to make sure that the tagged PDF comes out of there.
So that would be through the website? Or
through the website is one place. If you want some hand-holding, again, it helps to send me an email or... Lynn in the back there. Sir,
Lynn.
Yes.
I have a laptop that has Windows 98 on it.
Uh-huh.
When I go to load the latest version of Free Acrobat Reader, etc., it says,
it won't
load that one. Here's the previous one, which I already have.
Right. Acrobat 7 is not supported on Windows 98. Acrobat 7 works for Windows 2000 and above, Windows XP. When Microsoft stops supporting a platform, we then also move on. And the Adobe Reader 7 and Acrobat 7 were the ones caught up in that cycle. So
if I buy the newest one, even the latest one, I wouldn't be able to put it on my 98 machine?
That is correct. Acrobat 6 was the last version, and Reader 6 were the last versions of those products on 98.
My wife uses a PDA that PacMate, and she does not have a PDF reader available to her.
Apparently there's no pocket PC version of any kind of Acrobat reader. There's not one that... I understand the work.
There are two. I know a little bit about the PacMate issue. Vaguely. On the Palm OS, there is an Adobe Reader. And on the Symbian, there's also an Adobe Reader. But yes, I'm I apologize, I'm not up to speed on the situation where we're at with Pocket PC.
What about Windows Millennium and Adobe Sell?
Windows Millennium, that's another one that is not supported with 7 and E. Max, I'm sorry, you had your hand up?
Yes. Adobe Reader 6 free version would work with Office Document Manager to perform OCR. Version 7 stopped working. What happened?
Roger was actually pulling me in on some of this. As I understood it, we were supposed to have all that stuff working. I don't know what happened, but I just became aware of the reader and 7 scanning working. I didn't realize that was limited to the reader 6. I mean, literally moments ago, Roger was explaining it to me. I did not know that. One of the nagging issues has been, for people who have the Adobe Reader, how can they perform their optical character recognition? I have to research that. I'll be honest with you. I'll have to research that. I don't know why something that was working has suddenly stopped working.
Yeah, I had a means of doing it, and then when I got the 7 download, why, then it didn't work anymore. I hope you have plans to fix that in some version, later version.
I'm sure if something was working previously, then yes, we certainly want to get it restored.
And Greg, maybe we on the Information Access Committee could serve as kind of a contact point for you. And as these things are fixed, you could let us know and we can help disseminate that information through the various ACB listservs and such.
Absolutely. As I said, this news about the Office Manager being able to produce accessible PDFs with the free Adobe Reader was sort of welcome news to me, because this has been one of the nagging issues. Briefly, you have to buy Adobe Acrobat to do an OCR with an Adobe product. If you just have the free Adobe Reader, you've got to have your own OCR, either an expensive product such as Kurzweil. I just became aware of this Office Manager, or even now it's called Nuance. It used to be the ScanSoft products would do this as well. You'd have to go the third-party route. I don't know what it is about Adobe Reader that would disable the workings of the Office Manager, but we can look into that. In the front row, you had your hand up?
Yes. I was just wondering, is there anything, you know, that you're looking into in the development of, because right now you're saying all these wonderful things are still voluntary at the author level. In other words, it's how you build it. Is there anything in the works in the future so that when people use these programs to build this media, that the accessibility components will automatically be built in?
Well, there are warnings. There are now when you open a scanned PDF, for example, a flag comes up, a banner pops up saying, this is a scanned PDF, and one of the things it mentions is the fact that because it's scanned, it's inaccessible, and therefore you've got to take steps to make that more accessible. The quick check also indicates automatically that a PDF may not be tagged, for example. We advise people of these conditions, but we're not going to force them to make the appropriate fixes. We make it easier for them to do that. In the case of the scanned PDF, would you like me to scan it if you happen to have a copy of Acrobat? Check OK, and you're off to the races. Sir, in the back row with your hand up right now.
Yeah, this is going to be a difficult question to phrase, and maybe even a more difficult question to answer. I, in the last couple of months, ran smack up against an issue where I was given a PDF file, asked to transcribe it into Braille, which I was perfectly willing to do, and ran dead up against the fact that at least half of it, the columns weren't coming out in the proper order. I had no way of knowing what the proper order was, the people who did the file said, well, we'll save it as text with Adobe 7, and they did that. It still came out in an order that I literally found myself having to go back to their website to research to find out what items went with what in the catalog. And so I guess I'm wondering a couple of things. One, how the hell could you produce a file that was such a mess when it came back as text and still have it readable in print? And the other thing is, what recourse do I have when somebody dumps a bag of crap like that and says, use it?
Well, you're absolutely right. This is a tough question to answer.
I knew it would be.
Well, I mean, the key...
And I'm not doing that to
me. No, I understand. And that's sort of the issue we deal with. You know, and the key to what you said there was, you know, how can somebody produce such a thing for print? Well, that's the point. They're producing it for print. So when you're viewing the page, your eyes take over, your mind takes over and puts things in that proper order. So those individuals essentially are applying the "it looks good to me" test, which is the worst possible test as far as this audience is concerned. They don't understand that they are dealing with a different medium, a different way of experiencing the content. The other piece to that question is to sort of know a little bit more about how that PDF was produced. The other problem that Adobe faced with PDF files, and I'm being mindful of my time, PDF files are, PDF is a destination format. Those files are always born somewhere else, whether a scanner, very, very bad, or a word processing application, okay. Desktop publishing application, now you said catalog. Complex layouts suddenly make things really fraught with the potential to have disaster from an accessibility point of view. Because you can just slap anything on that page, it'll look good on the screen, and people whose eyes are working properly, they make sense of it. And getting your supplier, if you will, to understand that that's the least of their problems is making it look right, can be a challenge. And maybe the answer is send them back the bag of crap and say, smell it yourself.
And they sent me a bag of slightly less stinky crap. But it still stunk. And the end result of it was that I ended up doing about 6 weeks of work. And my kind of executive decision is that if they do that again to me, I'm going to tell them, you can't do this. You have to get me the file before you make a PDF.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, part of the difficulty there, because from their point of view, they're saying, well, wait a minute, PDF is portable document format. I should be able to give it to anybody, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. And I'm telling them, you can't do that. So in a way, I'm kind of flying against the current here. I don't see that I have any choice, but I also don't know what other recourse I have.
Is it a mixture of text and graphics?
No.
It's all text. Boy.
But it's all text that was they put into columns. And I had things like parts of columns showed up twice. You know, one place where it was supposed to be and somewhere else further down in the file where God knows how it got there or why, but it's there.
I don't want to cut things short. There are a number of other questions, but this is where we have to get into some troubleshooting, and we kind of have to nurse the crap producers along and then find out more about their workflows. I was going to get to the subject of workflow because that has a lot to do with it. Yes, ma'am, right here in front of me. Yes.
I'm Bernice Kandarian, and I'm chair of the Publications Committee for the California Council of the Blind, and we just encountered a similar situation in trying to transmit a PDF file of large print. It did not sustain the integrity of large print.
It did not sustain, meaning, I'm sorry, the question was a PDF file was given.
We sent it to the printer in large print, and it
printed in small print. That's a good question. Again, we got to find out what they did, because did they use true fonts, or did they create an image of the large print.
True false.
True. Well.
Greg, would it be possible for people like Steve and Bernice to send you samples?
Yeah, I will definitely send you, give you my contact information.
I have Greg's charger that's railing.
And see, we do. okay, the woman from Australia.
Just a question on that automation issue. I mean, without getting into the philosophical question, I'm wondering if you could have a system whereby before somebody hits the final finished key or what, or even perhaps before they started, you had a dialogue box came up and says, do you want us to go through accessibility checks? And if they press no, a warning that says you may be acting contrary to the law, but let them go ahead anyway. And if they say yes, then apply some tests automatically to it.
It's certainly possible. Do we have plans to do that? They're currently not on the drawing board. It's kind of a dicey. I go back to this, the Dreamweaver example, for example. Although they came up with a good way to do it. Dreamweaver actually forced an accessibility check in one of their versions. And every time you dropped in a figure, you got this alert, your alternate text is missing. People were going crazy. Quit bothering. I'll add it later. So we made that, do you want to be warned, an option. And that's certainly a possibility. I'm not going to say that's something we're going to do, but we've seen a real-life example now. We tried it one way. Actually, Macromedia did, but even though it's a great idea, there are problems posed by doing that. So at the least, right now, we have a checker. I'm going to take two more and then proceed on to the end. Yes, sir, in the back with your hand up.
Just a quick follow-up on Steve's point. I produce Braille documents as well. I'm a bit luckier than him because I have a crew of sighted volunteers who take care of some of those formatting issues. But it sounds like what we need is some sort of a working relationship between either PDF and the Braille translators or some way that when you save as text, it retains its formatting. My main question was, I'm doing a lot better with PDFs that get emailed to me, but I still feel like I have a lot of problems accessing what I would call online PDFs when they show up on a website. Sometimes I can do that to save target as, and sometimes I can't. I'm wondering if you guys are working on that.
Actually, we kind of have that one where you can configure through the accessibility preferences wizards that is part of both Acrobat, which is under the advanced pull down, and then to further confuse people in Reader, we put it under the help pull down.
It's under the help, the one way I can find.
Yeah, exactly. That wizard has an option that says launch PDFs in a separate window, and then from that point on, you can then just do Alt F save. It'll launch it outside the browser, which does two things. Less difficulty for your assistive technology to find it and start working with it, and it's just a cleaner implementation. Let me go on. I just have a few more things to say here, and then be happy to continue answering questions. The issue, by the way, when you say people send the file, what is the file? Is it a mixture of text? Is it a mixture of graphics? These are production workflows, and it's kind of interesting. The problems you cite for accessibility are in many ways not too different than the problems that a professional printer raises when they say, I've got a client, I've got an advertiser, or I've got a car dealership who wants me to print this nonsense, and they're giving me bad files and missing fonts and bad colors. And then they want me to make sense of it. It's the same situation, but instead of going out to a billboard or a magazine insert or the entire magazine, you're trying to produce Braille. So in one sense, you're in good company. Any Yahoo with a computer can create content.
You know what that means.
And or any Googler. Are they doing it right for the purposes they have intended? Not always. Everybody's a publisher. And that's good. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of expression is a good thing. But there are technical requirements that are quite frankly quite easy to bypass, whether in the print world, in the accessible world, in the Braille production world. One of the things I do want to point out, this issue of read order. In Acrobat 7, we introduced a new product, a new feature, called the TouchUp Read Order Tool, T-U-R-O, Turo. And it requires sight. A sighted, these people that are sending you the bags of crap, I just love this analogy. They can, if they've got Acrobat 7 Professional, you can at least instruct them to open up those PDF files they plan on sending you and turn on that TouchUp Read Order. The TouchUp Read Order tool draws rectangles around graphic objects, tables, and paragraphs and blocks of text, and it puts a number. Nothing could be easier. 1, 2, 3, 4, and at a glance, you can see how your assistive technology is going to attack that content. There are also flags that say, alternate text missing for the graphics. Now, you know, one step at a time, maybe you might instruct them to, I'll worry about the alternate text if you get the read order right. And then they can manipulate. So if item number 3 seems to be in the first position, in conjunction with the TouchUp Read Order tool is something called the content panel, and you can slide number 3 into its proper position. And on a page-by-page basis, somebody can glance at these pages and make sure that column, in a two-column page, the column on the left is numbered 1, and the column on the right is numbered 2. We say nothing could be easier, and yet there continue to be problem PDF files. But that's one of the specific recommendations I would make to some of the problems I'm hearing about today. Ask yourself a series of questions in this order. When you get a PDF file, it's a useful workflow. Is the PDF a scanned image? If it is a scanned image, then you're going to want to perform an OCR. How can you tell if it's a scanned image? There are many ways to do that. This is that CD I want to send you, Marlena. Is it supposed to be a form? Is it tagged? Is it not tagged? If it is tagged, is it properly tagged? You ask yourself these 5 questions, and finally, if I miss something, run the accessibility checker. You can have an accessible PDF. So, in summary, I just want to, what's new? The accessibility checker has been improved, especially the full check, so that people who bother to run the full checker, we're not making them. I guess we could make them, but we've seen in past experience that doesn't work either. When they select the error, it highlights the point in the document where the error occurs. Recognize text using OCR has better integration, meaning somebody using JAWS can actually do their own OCR and be guided through the process from beginning to end. There's now accessible forms authoring with our Adobe Lifecycle Designer that's part of Acrobat 7 Professional. We say make accessibles improve. I guess I don't know what the specific improvements are. I know it's a little faster. The TouchUp Read Order tool is absolutely new, and the content panel is new and improved. So the last thing, one of the questions Marlene had sent me, what can you folks do? What impact can you have? What does Adobe need you to do? Do what you're doing right now. Talk to the vendors. You've mentioned companies such as AOL, Adobe, Google. Talk to us. Tell us what your problems are. We really do want to listen. Discourage the use of that scanned content. Tell them about the evils of OCR. The evils of not doing OCR. This is another nice thing I've seen over the years. The advocacy groups have gotten out of the business of chastising and gotten into the business of educating. Hey, you know what a screen reader is? Let me show you something. Remember, these people are technologists. Listen to this. Oh, that's kind of neat. Make sure that you make things that work with this technology. And we do want to work with you. Make accessibility a challenge, not a chore. And let us know what's on your mind and Adobe beta testing opportunities. Well, my time is up. I probably went a little over. I apologize for that.
That's okay. You're the star.
So, well, I don't know about that. I'm a tarnished star. I will be around afterwards as well. My contact information. and I'll also transmit it to Marlena. The email is GP, as in Peter, ISOCKY at adobe.com. And the telephone number is 703-883-2810.